nerd soul.
Lay ill kid at one yo still holding it down, bringing that street geek and nerd soul. Like, comment, subscribe, hit the bell. Let's go, bruh. Man, look, that Ninja Kamui done got a brother. All right, it done, man. Look, they done left us with a cliffhanger like this. Look, hey, if you're brand new to the show, much love to you. Thanks for rolling through, whether you watch 1 second or you watch all the seconds. Bottom line is this. We got some revelations. I thought we got revelations last week. We got some revelations this week. All right, so revelation number one. The mystery caller is not Mr. Alza. So it's not him. He was just on the treadmill chilling. He was kicking it, getting his, you know, got to get your cardio up. So he ain't the one. I was thinking all this time, I was like, yo, maybe it's him. Maybe he want to get, you know, get all the other Insidious Six out the way so he can do his thing. But it wasn't him. It was one of the Insidious Six, but it wasn't him. So I'm like, oh, snap. This changes the game considerably. Because now, at least from what it looks like from the shots from the next episode, they're still in Alza City behind enemy lines. So this is might turn into basically just an all-out race to the finish to be able to get out alive, if you will. And Higan probably didn't even try to get out alive because he's still trying to complete his mission. He's going to kill all y'all. So now, I don't even know who the girl is. I'm guessing maybe the girl is the other chick that we saw from the past. Was it Mari? I can't remember his wife's name. I'm so sorry. It's not his wife's name. His wife, but the other girl that they, you know, they were all getting their ninja graduation or whatever together. So I'm guessing it's her. But bruh, man. Ooh, okay. Because it's not like this lowly person that was helping him. This is like someone in the inner circle. So it's a huge deal. Like they said, the crow has left with the tiger. So like, you know, saying like they have left the fatherly nest or whatever. So, wow, this is a huge betrayal against them. And I am sure that they're going to use every resource they have to try to get them either back to torture them or kill them or whatever. But this episode played out with action in spades. I want to give a shout out to the animation. Just the movement, the fluidity of it was on point. Whether he was flanked, man, look, those little security guards, they didn't have no chance. Them little, like, kind of sort of SWAT-looking security guards, they didn't have no chance, man, look. I don't even know why they even, like, man, why did y'all even come in and think y'all was going to do something? Like, whatever you want, do your thing. Anyway, then you had the sort of like the Foot Clan variety, garden variety ninjas. They did a little bit better because after you killed, like, I don't know, let's say 20, 30 people, however many it was, he was bleeding. Like, his arm or hand was bleeding. So they did get a little bit of him. But between all those people, it still wasn't enough. Not even close to take him down. It wasn't until he was already kind of like tired and whooped up a little bit that even the four kind of like armored of the Insidious Six could go after him. And I would probably argue that he could have taken them if he was at full strength. Not, you know, after he done ran like 2 miles and beat up about 30, 40 people. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he was fresh, you know what I'm saying? Fresh, nice, warmed up, ready to go, you know, fresh in the morning, then it might have went differently. He even tried to activate his secret art again, which didn't really work. So, how close to death is he? That's the question. I mean, we know the season ain't over, and we know that he's going to get healed in some type of way, but how long will that healing take? And will he ever get back to, I don't know, 100%? You know what I'm saying? Will he be able to get back to that? Who knows? But on the flip side, we get to see our intrepid detective, Mike Morris. And the issue here with Mike Morris is not that he's going off on his own and doing his thing. We already knew that. But after meeting this ex-Alza employee who's like, yo, I want to out them for being like corrupt and everything, when we see that secret list of like agent names and Emma's name is on it, bruh, come on, man. Come on, Emma, don't do me like this, girl. Emma, don't do me like this. But I guess what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I mean, we got someone who betrayed the bad guys. I guess it's someone who betrayed the good guys. Or maybe she didn't betray the good guys. She might have been working for hours of all this time in the first place. Who knows? Man, I don't know. All I know is, why is your name on this list, girl? Unless you're doing a double-double cross, then that means you're still a good guy. So, all right. But all I'm saying is, your name is on that list, and I ain't happy about it. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if either any of y'all is, but I ain't happy about her name being on that list, because that name make you suspect. Like, say if we open up that list, and you looked on there, and like your best friend's name was on there, you'd be like, whoa, hold up. I know good well such and such name ain't on this. So, she got some explaining to do. With that, added on to the fact that she's been super close with like Mike's movements to be able to lead the Alza folks to wherever he is. You know what I'm saying? Pretending like she good. I hope she good, but it ain't looking good. Now, Mike, I gotta sit down. I need to talk to you, my brother. Look, brother to brother, all right? You got a beard, I got a beard, all right? So we both brothers holding it down. You out here looking like Teddy Pendergrass with a detective coat. You make me proud in the way that you investigate. I like your interrogation style. I truly admire your diligence and your work. But we've got to talk about your car, man. Look, we gotta talk about the whip. All right, look. Now, I'm not saying that you got to be out here like Mike Lowry. All right? But in cases like this, you need to be out here like Mike Lowry. All right? Because look, that 92 Toyota Tercel or whatever, that Ford Taurus from 1983, it ain't going to work, man. It ain't going to work. Nah. We need a well-built, fully functional, and well-serviced car, all right? That means you got to keep up on your service. Now, don't get me wrong. I ain't throwing no shade to my mechanic spots. But look, if you're an FBI agent, you need to be taking your stuff to the dealer, bro. You can't be getting that, you know what I'm saying, that shoddy service or that, you know, I mean, hey, look, I know you're going to try to take it to your boy. All right, he fixes cars in his backyard. I get it. But nah, you got a car where at any moment you could be in a car chase, all right? You need that car to respond and to work properly like a well-oiled machine that it is and that it should be, all right? I'm going to need you to get a proper vehicle, all right? Because I'm going to tell you like this, all right? Mike Lowry and Marcus Burnett, all right? They wouldn't be caught dead in that, all right? And I'm going to tell you like this. They wouldn't, hey, look, if there was some cars flying around and some shooting and some driving, you best believe they would have been good. You want to know why? Because they get proper vehicles, man. Proper vehicles. It is key for you to be able to ride. This ain't even about riding around in style. This is about you being able to know that at any given moment, especially since you almost got bloated up in the restaurant, at any given moment that you can press on the gas and that you're going to get a positive response from the engine, all right, to be able to work through and pull the load with the torque that's necessary to be able to get out of harm's way, all right? Look, just listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. All right, my brother, you need to get a fresh car, right? Throw that other stuff out. Don't even trade it in. You just need to put that in the trash. Like, just drive it to the dump and just put it in neutral and just let it go into the dump. Don't even just take it to the transfer station or whatever they call in your city. Just leave it there. And it ain't no good to you no more. Especially got a whole bunch of bullet holes in it now. So, I mean, you don't need that thing. Man, look, I'm saying this because I care about your health and I want you to be safe. All right, Mike, I need you to be safe. Your name, Mike, my name, Mike, we need to be safe. All right? You see my car? All right? Well, all right, you don't see my car, but you see my car. All right? I keep it serviced. You know what I'm saying? I go to the dealership and I tell them, go through there and find what you need, what it need to work. And then when they tell me it costs this, I say, there's a warranty cover any of it? Did they say all right, yes or no? And then I'd be like, all right, and then I pay the difference. And then, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, you need to keep your car on point. And well, first, you just need a car that is on point. All right. So, with that said, guys, we had a great episode. The action was there, the music was there, the emotion was there, especially when we were dealing with Higan and, of course, Yamaji, who was watching from afar with the helicopter and saw the emotion in his voice, even with Zai going back and forth with him technically twice in this episode. I'm pleased with this show. This show shines. It really does. It is something that I was not expecting this season, and I'm glad we got it, man. Ninja Kamui with Zai, with Yamaji and their beef between, or I guess their beef and their, I guess, historical ties to Higan. Also, this stuff with Emma that's coming to light. There's a lot here, a lot of meat here for me to get into. And the action is just crazy good, man. Like, I mean, yo, ain't nothing wrong with that. Then we got, what, Solo Leveling? That's beat. You know what? I'm going to talk about that next in just a second. We gonna leave that alone. But guys, look. Let me know what y'all think about this show, because Ninja Kamui is killing it for me. Anyway, let's move on. I done caught up, y'all. That's right. I'm right up there with it. I'm checking y'all out. I'm here. We one-on-one right now. One-on-one. We right there. You and me, we watching it at the same time. Shout out to everybody that put me up on Solo Leveling so I can go in and check out the story. Jinwoo, Jinwoo, Jinho, they out there doing their thing, man. You know, they trying to live in this hunter world. Now, the show in general, I think is dope. Like, when I saw the trailer, I was like, I don't really get it. I don't know, man. Whatever. But after seeing the first episode, I was willing to give it a few more episodes. I watched that second one, man. That joy blew my mind. I ain't gonna front, especially when old boy, I was talking with Dub about it on Anime. I was like, yo, look, when that dude was saying, I'm fast, I can get out of this dungeon, I've got the speed or whatever. Man, when he got blown out his socks, bruh, nothing but smoking shoes, man, you know. I was all, come on, you know I'm all for that. And they don't hold back on these fight scenes, which I'm very pleased with. But the main character also isn't someone who annoys me. And that can happen from time to time. You know what I'm saying? You watching the show, you like, man, this dude about to get on my nerves. This dude don't... He never comes off as... The way they position him, he never really comes off as untouchable. You know, I want to see my main character work for it. You know what I'm saying? I want to see him or her kind of go through adversity, obtain something that was hard to get, them to kind of like build and train and all that stuff. I dig that. And I also like the idea that he doesn't come off as extremely arrogant either. He's not walking around like, I'm the best in the world, you can't tell me nothing. He don't do all that. You know what I'm saying? Gino is just like, yo, man, hey, I'm trying to make some money to feed my daughter. You know, but all right, he's feeding his sister, but still, you know, taking care of his sister. Then, of course, trying to do something to, you know, assist his mother with her medical bills, and also just the ability to hopefully be able to, you know, get out of the coma. And he's going through this, day to day dealing with trying to hide his identity. It's almost kind of like a superhero story in that way, because he's trying to hide his powers as well as get these jobs, because these jobs equal money, as well as make sure that he does enough to level up in the game or whatever, where he's been, I don't know, extra reawakened, because the other reawakened people don't see what he be seeing. So he's some extra special stuff, but it's probably from that god or gods that was in that, you know, disappearing dungeon / temple thing that he was in. And if you, you know, if you already know the end and everything, you know what I'm saying, don't be telling me now. I don't be like Coop up in here, all right? Don't be spoiling everything. Let me enjoy it. I don't mind if y'all answer some questions for me, but don't be like, oh, don't worry, bro, next year, guess what happened? Nah, I ain't trying to hear all that. I want to experience this story, especially with the, you got the crooked hunters, you got the crooked government, you got these crooked, I don't know if the, like, hunter association people, like, bruh, it's dirty folks all around. You think, like, all right, these are some people that I can rely on. No, everybody dirty, man. Like, you got the hunter guilds, they dirty. The hunter association, they dirty. The government, the general government, and, you know, in the story, or in this country at least, seems to be dirty. Then the energy producing folks is dirty. Then the hunters you go out with, you got to watch your back from them. Like, bruh, I like how they set up this story. I mean, it would be nice to have a couple of people that got your back, but I mean, this story has competing interests, which I really enjoy. I enjoy situations where we don't just have a direct good and bad. There's people all over that want a certain thing for whatever the reason is. And they might be good or good-ish or bad or bad-ish, you know, kind of thing. And then we throw it in a pot and let those different ideologies kind of collide. And I think that serves for, you know, I think that serves a greater goal in creating a very deep story that can, you know, go for a long time. I mean, especially with this Elixir of Life thing, I think we could at least do the Elixir of Life for like the first season, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want to see your Ma Dukes get up. You know what I'm saying? Go in and get that Elixir. I mean, he took a chance. All right. He took a chance with going to the, you know, demon dungeon or whatever, the top level real deal dungeon. I mean, he had to fight that triple dog, and he got smart with it. You know, he got smart with using his, you know, his abilities and his tools and stuff. But I think it was a good idea for him to be like, all right, let me regroup. I'll come back to this place when I get a chance, because, you know, he won't ready for that, boy. Like, whoo. But that, the, I guess I'll call it the Terror Dog for now. The Terror Dog, that battle was crazy, because it's like we're seeing our hero getting mangled, like, leg gone, arms gone, getting bit all through your torso and stuff, just all kinds of craziness. I ain't gonna front. I think it's well done, it's well played, and this is a top quality anime, man. From the issue with what Mr. Huang is gonna do, or I guess his brother, well, yeah, Mr. Huang, they're both Mr. Huang, but what he's gonna do, because his brother set me up, and that's another thing, bro. Before we even get, look, yo, your brother lived by the sword and he died by it. There it is. Don't be coming up mad at me. What? Your brother tried to kill me. I killed him first. The end. Don't be getting mad at me. Nah. Don't bring that mess over here. You know your brother's dirty. You dirty. That's how y'all live. What? Oh, the game ain't fun no more because you lost? Nah, bruh. You lost. And don't roll up in here like you won't catch that El Neva. Because, what is it? Genu was like, Mr. Huang, you're impressive, but I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you. Woo! Now, I love that. I ain't going front. I love that. My boy came through. I love that. Because he's not an arrogant dude. He be trying. He be like, yo, I don't want to hurt nobody. You know what I'm saying? He even makes a huge distinction, and the other hunters do too, a huge distinction, like, you know, sort of like, we don't kill humans. Like, killing humans is like a taboo thing. But he's like, look, this is you or me. Y'all set us up, and now y'all coming in, y'all think y'all just gonna come up in here and kill a brother? Man, we slice that neck. You know what I'm saying? He ain't playing. Then he one hand slammed Mr. Huang into the dirt. Bruh, look, it's a beautiful thing. I will say, I love seeing bad guys get their comeuppance. All right, he deserved that. He was wrong. He who knows how many other hunters they done killed and they passed. Bruh, he just got justice for countless hunters. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said sometimes revenge and justice can run hand in hand. Bruh, look, yo, I bet you Mr. Huang, they gonna learn something today. And when his brother come through, like, oh, how can I commit a crime? Look at how dirty he is. If you commit a crime overseas, then you get this, you commit a crime here. Look, I bet you one thing. Come on over here, see what happened. Yo, because look, my boy leveling up. You know what I'm saying? Level up, level up. I like what I'm seeing. From end to end, I'm digging the show. I'm happy I'm watching this. This season, I'd say the standouts for me are, of course, Solo Leveling. We got, as well, Ninja Kamui and Metallic Rouge. We'll get into that next week, man, because I haven't talked about it in a while. I love the revolutionary nature of it, like I said before. And I got some thoughts. I got some thoughts on the Neons and where they're going and what their plans are and the Immortal Nine and stuff like that. And where Rouge should really stand in that. So, of course, holla me. I'ma holla you. Got in them comments. Let's talk Solo Leveling. Let's talk Ninja Kamui. So, of course, NERD, SOUL, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, podcast, all that jazz. And until the next time that you have to fight someone that you thought was supposed to be your ally, this is just from us to you saying peace.